Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you are, wherever you happen to be traveling, whatever you're doing. We're so grateful to have you tuning in to this worship podcast. We are going to be focusing a bit today on Gospel of Matthew, but also in light of current events in Israel and Palestine. And in keeping with that focus, I don't want you to overdose on Daniel Carmo from Israel, but I do want to have Daniel sing us into this worship service with his song, Jerusalem, as we pray for all of those who dwell in that war-torn land.
Jerusalem is waiting just for you, oh Lord. They cannot see, they do not know the truth, oh Lord. Open their eyes, let them see you, let them feel you, let them hear you, 'cause you are here, oh Lord. Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, oh Lord. Wonderful Counselor, 'cause you are here, oh Lord. Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, oh Lord. Wonderful Counselor. Kadosh ata Adon, ki ata kan Adon, Yoetz el Gibor, Aviat Tzar Shalom. Kadosh ata Adon. Listen Israel, He's the Lord of all the heavens. Because you are here, oh Lord,
So we've been spending time toward the end of the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus has made his way into Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna and into the Temple Mount where he has turned over the tables of the money changers. And then he is teaching, and he begins in chapter 22 by saying, or it says, once again, Jesus spoke to them in parables saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son." The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. The section goes on, but as I thought about all the events of this past week, particularly in Israel and in Gaza, I was drawn to the themes that Jesus often preached about. And so I actually want to draw our attention this morning to a portion of Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, because while that scripture is remembered in the region of Galilee, these are absolutely themes that Jesus would have picked up while on the Temple Mount itself. So in the 43rd verse of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus preached these words. He said, "You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Let's pray. Lord God, we need your word anew. We need your guidance. We need your direction. We think of the many Israelis and Palestinians who are in conflict with one another or who are just fearful of one another as Hamas launches attacks and Israel launches counterattacks. We pray in the midst of it all, what might your word be? What might Jesus's word be to us? So we wait upon that word. We wait for that word in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've been following along with us the last few weeks, we have been looking at Jesus's teaching on the Temple Mount in the 21st and 22nd chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. And I didn't read much of the wedding banquet story because it's really the context, the location, the surrounding constituencies of people that have captured my attention as I've tried to discern what word is to be spoken when the land of the Bible, the land of our faith, the Holy Land, the land flowing with milk and honey, is once again plunged into flaring hatred and violence. Because something needs to be said. Silence is not an option. But what to say? Because people in the know and people who don't know a darn thing right now are taking sides, are picking sides. I was doing my best to squeeze this parable of the wedding banquet into current events or to press current events into this story on the Temple Mount, but, you know, it just wasn't fitting until I remembered that it was just this past June that I was in the West Bank, in the town of Taipei, as that last Christian village was preparing for a town-wide wedding celebration. And I went to look at my pictures from that trip, and looking back at my pictures, I was reminded of who stands directly at the center of that little Christian enclave in the West Bank. You want to take a guess at who stands in the center of that Christian enclave? Jesus Christ. There's a huge 30-foot statue, a golden statue of Jesus right there in the town center in the Western Bank Palestinian village of Taipei. Jesus Christ at the center for all to see and pass by. Now, that's when the irony or parallel of Jesus' teaching on the Temple Mount and current events suddenly dawned on me. Jesus was teaching a little band of followers right in the middle of two separate groups of people who regarded one another with deep suspicion and outright hostility at worst. Suspicion at best, hostility at worst. Much like today. On one side, though, there were the Jews of Jerusalem and their religious leaders. At that moment, as Jesus preached, the Jews were a completely occupied people, the Romans. Standing watch on the citadel overlooking the Temple Mount, those Romans restricted the movements of the Jewish people, they curtailed their freedoms, and they taxed them heavily to pay for imperial expansion. Now, on the other side were the Romans, who were just terrifyingly powerful. To challenge the empire meant certain death and destruction for people and for entire communities, which is exactly what happened about 40 years later in Jerusalem, 70 AD. Infuriated by an incident when Roman guards desecrated the temple, the outmatched Jews revolted. They staged these strategic attacks on their captors only to be utterly annihilated. General Titus, in command of four Roman legions, burned the city of Jerusalem to the ground and tore the temple down stone by stone and killed or enslaved most of the Jewish men, women, and children. I'll tell you, I think about it, and it must have looked something like the images out of Gaza we're seeing today, total destruction and devastation. And right there, 2,000 years ago, preaching in the midst of such simmering hostilities that would eventually boil over 40 years later, right there was Jesus. And you know what Jesus preached? Well, yes, you do, because like so many preachers, Jesus only had a few core messages. He preached, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." He preached, "You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also." Jesus preached, "I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be called children of your Father in heaven." Jesus preached, "If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I mean, as it does for us today, it must have sounded like utter foolishness to the religious leaders of Jerusalem and to the Roman authorities who believed in the power of force. A power of force to defend oneself or one's people, or the power of force used to impose one people's will and ways on another group of people. You know, the Jewish authorities had long plotted attacks against the Romans, and the Romans were known to mercilessly strike down anyone or any group who threatened to challenge their iron rule, and in this case, occupation. And there was Jesus, right in the center, preaching peace between Jewish religious leaders who would eventually condemn him, if you remember, right in between those leaders and the Roman authorities who would wind up crucifying him. And Jesus got crushed. He did. It got crushed right between them, quite literally. Jesus died teaching the ways of God that neither Jewish leaders nor Roman authorities wanted to heed, let alone hear. Jesus was crucified as if he was an insignificant criminal caught between two warring peoples in a protracted power struggle. Does this sound familiar at all to you? You know, Jesus died on a cross, and some thought, when he died, that his message died with him. But as we know, 3 days later, the tomb was open, Jesus was raised, and hope was renewed. Hope was resurrected, because that's possible. That happens. And do you remember by chance the first words Jesus spoke to his disciples when he appeared to them in a locked room? He said, "Peace be with you." He says it three times in a span of 10 verses when he meets his failed and faltering disciples. He says, "Peace be with you." See, you can kill the messenger. You can disrupt the peace. You can fight against the designs of God with all the weapons at your disposal, but victory will be the Lord's. One great and glorious day, as the prophet Isaiah promised on God's behalf, swords will be turned into plowshares. Spears will be bent into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Peace will overcome someday. So 10 miles northwest of Jerusalem, there is this little Christian village of 1,600 souls, the very last all-Christian village in the West Bank in Palestinian territory. The town of Taibe exists between a Jewish settlement that is always encroaching on their land and taking more of their land, and between Muslims who would prefer that that Christian village with its successful microbrewery did not exist at all. It is the biblical town of Ephraim, the very last village Jesus stayed in before making his way to Jerusalem. Now, the town's name was changed to Taibe in 1200 AD when the crusading Sultan Saladin spared the city from destruction because of the remarkable kindness and hospitality of that Christian community. Today, Taibe sits behind the barrier wall that separates Israel from the West Bank. The people of Taibe are only allowed water 3 days a week, Though the Israeli settlers on their land have water to wash their cars and fill their swimming pools and water their lawns 24/7, 365. The people of Taipei are not afforded protection, nor are they allowed to protect themselves when Israeli settlers enter their town to try to intimidate them by vandalizing their houses and businesses. The community of Taipei also has three churches in town named St. George, because St. George is glancingly referenced to in the Quran, and thus the Muslims are somewhat reluctant to attack a church with that name. The name and the icons of St. George are the only insurance policy the people of Taipei have against Muslims. It's a hard life. The people of Taipei are caught between two opposing forces, but the people of Taipei are passionate people of faith, deeply committed Christians. And all they want is what Jesus preached so often, peace. Peace, and the visitors who will make a pilgrimage to their little town when peace abounds. And in the middle of it all, in the midst of struggle and strife, right there in the West Bank, is Jesus, standing in the city square, arms raised in blessing for every passing traveler, Christian, Muslim, or Jew. Jesus is in the center, not on any side, right in the middle, right in the middle of all the mess, as he always has been, preaching peace and forgiveness and love of enemies. So what are we to say in such times of this? What are we to think? Where are we to stand? When Hamas viciously attacks Israel, when Israel unrelentingly punishes Gaza, where do we stand? I mean, think of in our own country. Where do we stand? When right wing screams hatefully at left wing and when Democrats demonize Republicans, where do we stand? When some condemn white privilege and others refuse to speak of racism at all, where do we stand? In a polarized society where name-calling can quickly escalate into violence-making, where do we stand? Well, look to Jesus. We don't stand on the sidelines as spectators. No, no, no. Nor do we lean right or left. We make our home in the middle, right smack dab in the middle, in the center with Jesus, between warring and hating parties, speaking up and speaking out the words that no one may want to heed, but you know what? Everyone needs to hear. Abroad and at home, we're the ones who proclaim and hopefully live these words. Peace be with you. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Love those who only seem to know how to hate. I'll tell you, in our aching world, 2,000 years ago, and today, Jesus stands in the center. Jesus raises his hands to bless all people who pass his way. Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, the one that hatred and violence and death could not defeat. Jesus invites us to take our place by his side, at the center of it all, until that day when God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord God, there is so much we hope for, and there is so much we cannot accomplish on our own. Divine intervention, your Spirit interceding for us, is what we pray for. Not just for disputes around the globe, but for disputes in our own homes, in our own communities, in our own country. Help us to be the ones, Lord God, who stand in the middle with you, pulling people together instead of dividing people one from another. Lord God, help us to know what to speak and how to speak. Let us know how to act and what to do. We ask for this guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. So, church family, go forth with this blessing that was held out to the Jews so many years ago and has been claimed by Christians ever since, that may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.